I'm going to talk today about constructing optimal solutions to the two-edge connected spanning subgraph problem subject to metric costs. Now that sounds like a big mouthful, but give a bit more precise definition as to what I mean. So I'll start off with an introduction, talk a little bit about ear decompositions, progress from there to necklaces, and on to something that was really helpful, the min-cut cacti. So throughout this talk, I want to be looking at subgraphs of the complete graph on n vertices. So I'll label the vertex set V and the edge set E. And I've always got this cost function where I'm assigning a real value, a real non-negative value, to every edge of the complete graph. And we say that a multigraph, in this case, is two-edge connected if between every pair of vertices there are two edge disjoint paths. Okay, so something that we've been talking about already today. Now this minimum cost two-edge connected spanning subgraph problem, basically what I'd like to do is I'd like to find a minimum cost with respect to some cost vector C, or cost function C. I'd like to find a minimum cost two-edge connected spanning multigraph. So I'm allowing parallel edges, not really loops. They're not necessary. Okay. This is also called the network survivability problem, and the basic idea is that if you want to create a communication network, you've got some nodes, you have links between those nodes, and these links have a certain cost. So this two-edge connected spanning subgraph problem, or the network survivability problem, we want whatever network we create to be able to survive the loss of one link. Okay, one link can go down and still every pair of vertices or every pair of nodes will be connected. Okay, and of course we'd like this to be as cheap as possible. And unfortunately this problem is NP-complete, like some of the other problems we've been talking about here today. So here's just an example of the problem. Here I've got K5. I've got some costs associated to the edges here. And there's quite a few optimal solutions, but here's one. It's a multigraph. I've got a parallel edge between these two vertices here, so I'll count the cost one twice. There. So I've got a total cost of 7 here of that solution. And I want to restrict my cost functions a little bit and talk about a special class of cost functions, and those are metric cost functions. And they basically satisfy the triangle inequality here, that any distinct triple of vertices that I have, the shortest or the cheapest path between U and V will be the direct link between them. And if we restrict ourselves in this way, the best approximation algorithm that's available is by Fredrickson and Jaja in 1982. And when C is metric, we can always find a solution that's within a factor of 3/2 in total cost of the real optimal solution, or a real optimal solution. What I'm even more interested in, though, is this theorem by Monma, Munson, and Polyblank. And they said that basically, if we want to find solutions to the two-edge connected spanning subgraph problem, when we've got a metric cost function, then our solutions are going to have a lot of really nice properties. So first of all, they're going to be simple. We won't ever need to have those parallel edges. They're going to be edge minimally two-edge connected, meaning if I remove any edge, there'll be a bridge in the resulting graph. They also will be two vertex connected. Every vertex is going to have degree 2 or 3. And removing any pair of edges will leave a bridge in one of the resulting components. Okay, so a lot of structure. Not every optimal solution will have these properties, but we're guaranteed that an optimal solution will have these properties. And let's denote by M the set of all graphs that have those properties. And these are going to be graphs of great interest to me during this talk. So here are just some examples of some graphs in M. The simple triangle is in there. It's the smallest one. Kind of the next interesting one is these three paths here, okay, each of length 3. And kind of the next most complicated one, the next interesting one, is this graph here. Okay. So the whole purpose of our research, we're a long way from this goal. But we're hoping that if we can learn something about these graphs in M, then perhaps we can come up with some approximation algorithm for the two-edge connected problem when you've got a metric cost function. Okay? We're nowhere near addressing this. Basically, in this talk, I'm just going to explore some of the structure of these graphs in M. And if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them. Okay? If you see something. So I want to talk now about ear decomposition. And for those of you who know about this fairly classical two-edge connected problem, you're probably way ahead of me right here. But an ear decomposition is basically a sequence of subgraphs of a graph G, where the first one's a cycle, the last one is the graph itself, and you can obtain HI plus 1 from HI by basically adding a path. And that path, the only vertices it has in common with the subgraph HI are its endpoints. So think of, you've got your two-edge connection. I'm getting ahead of myself. You've got your subgraph HI, it's your head, and you're going to add your path, that's your ear. Here's your ear decomposition. And a very famous theorem by Whitney says that a graph is two-edge connected if and only if it has an ear decomposition. Okay. So here's just an example of an ear decomposition. This should be a dotted line here. I have a bit of problems with my X-fig right now. But we're going to start with a cycle. Add that ear there, and then add one more ear. There we go. We've seen the whole ear decomposition of that graph, that two-edge connected graph. Okay. And one of the nice things about these graphs in the family M is that they're two-edge connected, and if you look at any ear decomposition of them, then the subgraphs that you're creating along the way, regardless of what ear decomposition you use, will also be in M. Okay. So this is what got me thinking about trying to construct the graphs in M by adding ears. Okay? Take a graph that's already in M and try to create a new one by adding an ear. Well, I want to talk a little bit about what are some necessary conditions if we're trying to build another graph in M from a smaller one by adding an ear. So let's talk about a graph that's in M and we've got a bunch of ears. Then since the vertices in HI plus 1 have to have degree 2 and 3, then the endpoints of any of these paths have to be distinct. We can't add what they call a closed ear, because then the degree of that vertex where we're adding the ear would have degree at least 4. Okay? So that's a simple kind of conclusion we can come to. Also, those endpoints, for a very similar reason, have to have degree 2 in the subgraph. And because our graphs in M are edge minimally two-edge connected, and also if we remove two edges, we must have a bridge in one of the resulting components, then our paths have to have length at least 3. Okay? Otherwise, we'll contradict one of those ideas. Turns out that's not quite enough, though, to guarantee that our graph will be in our class M. So this is where I want to bring in the idea of a necklace. So before then, just I want to remind you of a min cut. If you've got a graph that's k edge connected but not k plus 1 edge connected, then a min cut is just a cut containing exactly k edges. So I'm going to define a necklace here in a graph which has a min cut of size 2 as being a partition of the vertex set with a certain order where each of those parts induce a minimum cut, so it induces a cut with exactly 2 edges in it. And the edges in these minimum cuts have their endpoints in kind of the neighbors in the partition. And lastly, there's no finer partition. I can't subdivide or subpartition any one of those parts V0 up to VK minus 1 and still get these first two properties. Okay? And because we're talking about a necklace, well, we're going to call these things the beads of the necklace. So here's a picture. We're going to go back to one of those graphs that's in our family M, and kind of what I've scribbled around, those are going to be the beads of a necklace in our graph. So we've got 3 beads here, and between consecutive beads, there's going to be exactly 1 interbead edge. Okay. Well, one nice thing about necklaces in graphs with specified min cut is that every minimum cut can be written as the union of consecutive beads from some necklace. Okay, so that's one nice thing. And more specifically, for our class M, every edge is an interbead edge of a unique necklace. So we can kind of, for every edge, find a corresponding necklace. And every necklace has to have at least three beads. We never have kind of a trivial necklace where you just have two beads with two edges going between them. Okay. And this leads to kind of a theorem about how we can construct these graphs in M via this ear decomposition. Let's say we've got one right graph that's in M, H. We've got two vertices that have distinct vertices that have degree 2. We want to add a path of length at least 3. Those are all our necessary conditions. Well, provided if we look at every single necklace of H and U and V are going to be either in the same bead or in beads that are at least a distance 3 apart, okay, then we're guaranteed that adding that ear is going to give us another graph in M. And I'll show you an example here. So let's say this is a necklace of our graph H, and I'm thinking about adding an ear with endpoints U and V. Okay? You notice that U and V are in beads that are, there's kind of three interbead edges in between the beads containing U and V. And so we can add a path of length 3. This necklace here doesn't show that adding this ear would violate any of the conditions. Okay? So if every necklace has a configuration like this, then we're guaranteed that our graph will be in the class M. Okay. Well, that's kind of the main machinery that gives us, tells us how we can construct these graphs. But there's an even nicer structure called the min-cut cactus of a graph. And it's going to help us to compactly see exactly where all the necklaces are and help us easily decide whether or not we can add a certain ear. Okay? So a cactus is basically a two-edge multigraph where every edge is in a unique cycle. That's a little bit vague, but I'll show you a picture in a second of some cacti. But one thing to notice is that in a cactus, all the min cuts, they consist of pairs of edges that are in the same cycle. And if we think of graphs that are in our class M, the min cuts of those graphs consist of pairs of interbead edges in the same necklace. So there's kind of a parallel going on here. And it turns out this really doesn't have anything to do with our class M. This is just true in general. Dinitz, Karzanov, and Lomonosov used a cactus to describe the min cuts in a graph. So basically, a cactus captures all of the information about all the necklaces in a graph. And as a result, a cactus completely describes all the min cuts in a graph. Okay? For every pair of edges that are in the same cycle, that's a min cut of the cactus, and there's a corresponding min cut in the original graph. Okay? So just as an example, let's take this labeled graph here and show you, just really take note of these vertices of degree 3, say 8 and 2 there, and 7 and 4. When I go to construct its min cut cactus, it looks like this here. Here we see 2 and 8 that are together in the label of a node. And if each one of these cycles here corresponds to a necklace of that graph. Okay. Now, these cacti for graphs in M have really nice properties. First of all, they as we saw before, they never have kind of parallel edges in them. So we always have cycles of length at least 3. There are no empty nodes. Every node is going to be labeled by some vertices. And every node that has degree greater than 2 is going to have a degree that's actually divisible by 3. Okay. So we can kind of reformulate that earlier theorem, but this time in terms of cacti, because they're a lot easier to deal with and they contain so much information, to tell us when we're allowed to add an ear and still get a graph in M. So basically, if we have a graph that's in M, we have its min-cut cactus, we have our vertices U and V, then by adding a path, a UV path, to get a graph G, that's going to be in M if and only if we look at a shortest path on the cactus between the nodes containing U and V. They'll never intersect a cycle of our cactus in exactly one or two edges. Okay, so again, just a picture. Here's a graph that's in M. I'd like to add a path here. Okay. Well, here's the cactus of that first graph. Okay, U is in this node there, V is over there, and Q is a shortest path between them. You notice that this cycle here, it intersects in three edges. Here it intersects in three edges. It doesn't intersect this cycle at all in any edges. Okay, so since it doesn't intersect any cycle in exactly one or two edges, then we're allowed to add a UV path and get a graph in M. Okay? And when we do that, we'll get this as our cactus. And basically what's happening here, to update our cactus, we can add that path of length 3 from U to V, and it's basically what's happening is we're going to identify the nodes U, V, and all these kind of transition nodes that our shortest path is going through. We're just going to kind of pull them all together to get our new cactus. So not only is the cactus containing all the information, but as we're generating new graphs in our family M, we can easily update the cactus. We don't have to recompute it or find it again every time. Just to finish off, one interesting kind of corollary that comes out of the structure of these cacti, you might think, if we can always add a path of length 3, it's got kind of two internal vertices, then maybe the best edge to vertex ratio we can get is about 3/2. Okay? But it turns out that you can't just arbitrarily add a path of length 3 anywhere, and because of the special structure of our cacti, then the number of edges is bounded by 6/5 n. And we can actually attain this inequality is tight, okay, as n goes off to infinity. So just in summary, every metric cost solution, our network survivability problem, has an optimal solution that's in M. That was the Monman, Munson, and Pulley-Blank theorem. And because graphs in M are two-edge connected, we can create them by adding ears. And we have a method now of knowing exactly which ears are valid to be added to give us a graph in M. The min-cut cactus tells us everything. And even better than that, we can easily update the min-cut cactus. So if we're interested in generating those graphs, we can do it, okay, via this method. And thank you very much for your time.